It's all told by Emily when she's 53. That would make it like 1883. She goes in and out of time. As she says, she wanders back and forth in time, and she definitely does that. And she gives us all snippets of times in her life. She tells us about the different people in her life, her father, her mother, definitely her sister, Vinnie, and then someone that she had been in love with. She just does wander back and forth in time and goes into the character of that time, but always returns to being 53 and completing the story.
Could you share with us what you've come to learn as you've had to inhabit really the character and the persona of Emily Dickinson?
You know, it really was from the script and reading her poems, which are completely autobiographical, that I feel that I have gotten the most to know Emily from just reading her poems. All the other research is good, but it's just all corroborated by reading her poems.
And having said that, is there a particular passage from the play or a portion of verse that you recite in the play that you think maybe really kind of stands out in your mind as being sort of the quintessential Emily Dickinson?
Yes. In fact, one of the lines in the show, she talks about a couple of different times, but she says, "My business is to love." That certainly is embodied in this entire play and all of her poetry. But this one poem just really shows, it begins to lay the groundwork for the fact that Emily is such a loving, loving human being. "If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin unto his nest again, I shall not live in vain."
How are you able to bring yourself, Sherry Mitchell, into that, you know, way of being, way of living, so that you can portray her on stage? I guess, you know, how do you bring Sherry Mitchell to Emily Dickinson?
Emily and I, this show and I, fit. So much of it doesn't really feel like acting, as though there's something that I have to reach deep for, that I don't know this character very well. In fact, I just know her. There are just parts of the two of us that make us seem like sisters. That really was not the challenge. I think the challenge was simply just the copious amounts of words to memorize.
Sure.
To make sure that all is true. But just really, from the very first time that I read through the script, I just said, wow, this is a fabulous coupling.
Emily Dickinson being one of those poets that, you know, is taught in schools, but just wondered if during your research for the role, there was something that, well, surprised you.
From reading this script and then, you know, the research and just finding out about her life, I didn't realize that all of her suitors had been married men, and they were all older than she, and that perhaps there is a mystery man that she really truly loved. And so all of that was an interesting side to her that I just really didn't know about, but was glad to find out about.
I've been speaking with Sherry Mitchell. She's portraying Emily Dickinson in the one-woman play The Belle of Amherst, which is at the Playhouse on the Square in downtown Jacksonville, May 30th, 31st, and June 1st and 2nd. Also at the Hoagland Center for the Arts Club Room on June 7th through the 9th at 7 o'clock. What about the script itself? Can you say, what's the interplay of verse, of her verse, like, and how does the playwright weave that into what you have to act?
He did it brilliantly. I understand there were 2 years of research and writing this play. He definitely has interwoven the poetry throughout all the telling. Emily will just be talking and all of a sudden say a verse or two, or perhaps the entire poem, and then go right back to talking, or start maybe perhaps talking about something else. So it's this lovely flowing stream of poetry, and then just this conversation with the audience. And that's another lovely part. There's no wall. This is complete interaction from almost the first line of the play to where the audience becomes my new friends. They're strangers, but all of a sudden they become friends, and we're very close by the end of the play. So this whole stream of poetry and storytelling is all just lovingly, quietly portrayed through the poems and the words.
Sherry, as we wrap up our conversation about your play, The Belle of Amherst, I just wondered, in going back in time, as you've had to rehearse this over and over, do you feel a change in yourself at all as you have to get into the skin of, you know, someone who was living during the 1800s? You know, what's it like to kind of take that time travel?
That's a wonderful question. And for me, it's a very wonderful experience. I really have just always been somehow enamored with the 19th century. I love the music. I love Schumann and Chopin. And I love the authors of that time, obviously the poetry of that time. And there was a certain simplicity. Yes, I know people will say that it was harder to live because there was so much more labor, but there's something romantic about that as well. So being Emily and being in this play has just allowed me to relax into the 19th century, which is sort of a time I really kind of wish I could have experienced myself. Also, she challenges me, humbles me with how deeply intense she was about her human relationships, and makes me also feel like it's okay for me to love nature as much as I do, gardening, flowers, just being outdoors, as she says, in the blue beloved air. And it also has just challenged me to be a bit more feminine. I've even just wear my clothes a little differently and like longer skirts, and just as long as I'm Emily. And just to expose a little secret, I have blue eyes, but I have brown contacts to do this show.
The whole nine yards.
That's right.
The costume all the way down to the eye color. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I feel far more Emily. And we remark about it. There's a line in the play about her brown hair and her brown eyes. And so I felt that if people looked up at me and saw blue eyes, and I talk about my eyes being the color of the sherry in the glass that the guest leaves, that's not being true, and Emily says that she believes in truth.